Let's go. Good morning. Welcome into the show. Bill Ryder with you, as you just heard. I am fired up. College football night. Let's go. Nebraska, Cincinnati, I'm here for it. And I'll tell you why here in a few moments. Big program. We have several triumphant returns today. The triumphant return of Andrew Bogish on updates. The triumphant return of Kevin Todd, our guy from Vegas Mistake, to talk to us about how he and his company try to look for what they think are odds Vegas got wrong. We'll do that second hour of the show. The very triumphant return of Ross Tucker to talk a little NFL with us here on the program. And the, I have to say it a fourth time, right? Just if I'm in, I'm in. The triumphant return of college football in a meaningful and big way. We're going to preview the season. I can't wait. I'm very excited. We will talk about a tennis fracas. A couple ladies got real pissed off at each other, and I found it hilarious. We're going to talk about that. One of the greatest upsets in sports history occurred. We'll rock some buy or sell. We've got Would You Rather. A lot of college football talk. So if you want to weigh in, predictions, prognostications, 888-710-4ISM, the old X Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. I was thinking about this college football season and all of the storylines we've talked about and discussed. And what struck me is, more than any year that I can remember, and I think this is why I'm so excited about it, I'm not sure I've ever been more excited about a college football season in my life. Last year was the one that I anticipated the most, and it was amazing. Because this is going to be a year, even by the standards of football, of multi-million, billion-dollar football, of college football, this is going to be a college football season of unrelenting, maximized, crushing pressure. At every level, every week, we are going to feel that pull, that angst when something matters. And this is part of what I think the college football playoff did, the expanded version. I don't know that we need 28 teams or even 16 teams, but what we got last year, and this kicked in almost from the beginning and was certainly on fire from the midway point of the season, is that multiple teams, not just one or two in the old BCS model where you had a couple teams and if you lost it was over, multiple teams games starting pretty early on and continuing certainly midway point of the season, every single week you would feel like you were watching a playoff game and you would, my knuckles are white right now as I make a fist thinking about it. And that starts tonight for Nebraska, by the way. Told you Josh Pate thinks Nebraska can turn it around, that they can go 10-2. Our guy from his college football show, he just went over to Yahoo Sports. Nebraska's attempt to reclaim its place atop college football is very much a believed potential reality, at least in Nebraska. And they play Cincinnati tonight. They play in Kansas City, neutral site game, kind of, but Kansas City's basically an extension of Nebraska fans. It's 2.5 hours up the road. I've done that drive. They're 6.5-point favorites on Thursday night college football. If they lose that game, it's not just the season's over. The illusion, the idea, the possibility of a Nebraska turnaround. Remember Matt Rhule year three is all supposed to happen, comes crumbling down. And it's a small storyline compared to the things that are going to define this season. Think about it. I'm going to give you a bunch of these if I have the time. In a season in which the pressure is going to be maximized, in which the intensity of college football is going to be off the charts, think about the incredible amount of attention and focus and headlines and strain and pressure on Arch Manning. And it's not like he eases into this thing, carrying that name on his back with what is supposedly the best team in America this year, a great chance to be the Heisman Trophy winner, a great chance at a national championship. He doesn't get to go Louisiana State, Penn State University, Community College. No, it's Ohio State from Jump Street. And the pressure on Arch is massive. The pressure on Penn State, who have not won, let me just point this out for my guy, Ryan Hickey, a grad, who have not won a national championship since, what, 1986? Not in Ryan's lifetime, I believe. This is the year. And the thing about Penn State, and this is what's amazing about the college football playoff, the expansion creates more opportunity, but more opportunity means more expectations. More expectations and opportunity means more money invested, and pulling in the Deion Sanders of the world, and pulling in the Bill Belichicks of the world, and the ability, legally, Not with bag men behind the scenes at 3 in the morning at a Perkins in a college town. Legally, handing cash to kids means that you're going to raise money, but when you raise money from boosters, especially when everyone sees it, you better deliver. There aren't 5 programs or 10 programs that have expectations that exceed what they can probably do. There are 30 or 40 programs that are in that position. And we don't know which one Penn State is. Because if Penn State doesn't make the college football playoff, James Franklin, he should be gone. And if they don't win a national championship this year, it depends on how it goes down. But it may be seen as a failure. This is the year. And as a Penn State rises, remember, Texas 3-4 years ago was a revolving door of mediocrity and disappointment. As a Texas rises again, if, it's a big if, they got to beat Cincinnati tonight. If a Nebraska rises, somebody else has got to go away. It is King of the Mountain. There's only so many spots. Think about how many coaches have jobs that are supposed to be amazing. The job themselves and the coaches whose careers could turn on a season this year that doesn't go the way that it should. Kalen DeBoer, maybe first and foremost on that list? Replacing Nick Saban? Better get it done in Alabama? Look, I like Dabo. I think you put Dabo and Clemson on that list. I think they're at a turning point. I know they made the college football playoff last year. But it's an expanded playoff. Remember, they were the last team in. They got their you-know-what handed to them by Texas. Didn't play at the same level. And being atop a conference that is now an also-ran conference is not a route to necessarily being successful. And what you've seen from Clemson and their dip and their attempt to get back to where they belong isn't just battling against this lull where Dabo didn't want to go into the transfer portal. Let's be fair, where Dabo didn't want to compete in the arena by the rules that have been rewritten. It's also true that if you slip behind in the Big 12 or the ACC, you may not get back. I know it's not easy to win in the SEC or the Big 10, but if you do that, let's say Nebraska has a great year. Let's say Alabama has a surprisingly great year and wins the SEC championship. Your ability to immediately flick on and recruit is going to surpass anything in the ACC or the Big 12 or anywhere the other sort of non-power 4 conferences. And that pressure is going to trust me, Dabo's going to feel it. Think about Lincoln Riley. This is a guy who was the savior of USC, and there are very smart people who think they're going to go 7-5. That is a fit. Think about Brian, I call him Lion Kelly. I mean, it is going to be a college football season of crushing possibility in all the ways that could be awful. I keep bringing up Nebraska because I'm from the Midwest. I'm interested in this idea of football royalty turning into a punchline, turning into a joke. There is nothing more hard to take in, more pathetic. And Nebraska fans, don't be mad at me because I used to hate you because of what you did to my programs, and now I pity you, which is awful, right? I mean, it's weird that I'm rooting for Nebraska. But I have family who are from there, Nebraska fans, and went to Nebraska. And if you go to these communities like I do, it's interesting to see how they view themselves versus the way the world sees them. And at the risk of pissing my wife off, it's like going back to your hometown and bumping into the homecoming queen, and she's not necessarily a looker at 50, and life hasn't treated her well. And sometimes when she looks in the mirror, she sees 30 years ago, and when you look at her, you go, I'm sorry that this is the way it worked out. That's Nebraska football right now. That's what hinges on beating Cincinnati. And that's what could await, I'm telling you, USC. Oklahoma. Oklahoma's awful this year. They still look in the mirror and see themselves as part of the blue blood royalty of college football. I mean, Bill Belichick and Deion Sanders have their own sort of interesting pressure. Think about this. The SEC, which is one of the two dominant conferences, which not that long ago, before really the consolidation and everybody gobbling up the Pac-12 and may that rest in peace, not that long ago, the SEC, when this show was still on the air in this time slot, before Ryan was here, the SEC was the dominant conference in college football. They're still amazing. They're still important. They're still significant. It's the Big Ten who's won back-to-back national championships. There's only one time in this century, one other time, where that's happened, where it hasn't been the SEC at least every other year. And if Penn State wins the whole thing, if Ohio State wins the whole thing, if Iowa – I'm just kidding. I'm from Iowa. If it's not the SEC this year, if somebody else gets it done, you're talking about a historical generational shift, something we haven't seen in a really long time. The pressure in that conference alone is massive, and not just because they want to win. There's a power struggle right now on what the future of the sport looks like and really who controls it. And if the Big Ten wins 3 in a row, they'll have a lot more leverage than they do right now to push their stupid 28-team idiotic agenda. And people know this. Look, let's take Brian Kelly as one of many examples. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame of his own accord. Basically betrayed them, which is fine. You can do that. And I should probably not care as much because now players can transfer too. And he wasn't super honest about how it all went down. And yeah, we call him Lion Kelly because it's funny and it rhymes. It hasn't gone well at LSU. That's another one of those programs that are, at least in their own mind, view themselves as top of the world in college football. But if they're just a tweak away, yeah, tell that to Nebraska, tell that to USC, tell that to Florida State, tell that to a lot of, tell that to Michigan before Harbaugh got there. And there's nowhere for Kelly to hide. And he was, well, this is at SEC Media Days. He's claiming that this year, because of what he's put together, there can be no more excuses at LSU.
This is the best roster we've put together since I've been at LSU. And it takes time to put the roster together. Nobody has time for that. I get that. But we've developed our players, younger players in our program. We've taken some licks because of it. And we added some veteran players. So my eye is that this is the best roster we had. Now we got to go prove it.
That is a head coach who's been cornered, who has nowhere left to hide, who doesn't get to pretend this isn't the, oh, it's part of the plan, and we had to develop guys, and we have, but now, best roster they've had, you better win, man. No more excuses. Or Brian Kelly is on the outside looking in. For a lot of these programs and a lot of these coaches, every game is going to feel like the most important football game of their career. I'm telling you. Not just Nebraska tonight. It's going to be true for James Franklin. That's going to be true for Lincoln Riley. It's going to be true for DeBoer. It's going to be true for Dabo. Hell, Lincoln Riley was on the herd. And that's pretty friendly territory, right? Until recently, Colin was in L.A. He's in Chicago now. I like Colin a lot, but, you know, he's part of the scene here. And Lincoln Riley understood, and I think the backdrop is how unlikely this is, that time's up, man. USC is either one of the few contenders for a national championship or Lincoln Riley has failed.
We want to be a team that's a national championship contender every single year, like you should expect at USC. And to do that, you have to be great on the line of scrimmage. And so we've certainly tried to build that throughout the years. I think this group coming up on both fronts has a chance to be the very best we've had and certainly see a major difference, especially on the defensive line that I know will pay dividends this year.
This is going to be one of the most fascinating college football seasons in memory because starting 3 or 4 weeks in, starting Ohio State, Texas, starting tonight with Nebraska, starting with the first game that LSU or USC or Oklahoma, I mean, Oklahoma could be immediately dropped that they shouldn't, even Penn State, you're going to start to see careers and programs irreversibly or at least long-term be damaged. Those are the stakes that are out there. And maybe that's part of what's so mesmerizing about Arch Manning. Look, yeah, he's a Manning. That's interesting. And yeah, he's a quarterback in a major program. That's interesting. But Arch, in a lot of ways, maybe kind of like Tebow in his time, Arch just symbolizes college football today. Huge question mark. Total uncertainty. Massive expectations that we don't know which way it's going to go. Not just his own legacy, and he carries too much. It's not fair, but that's life. Not just this Manning legacy that he carries on his shoulders, but how good can Texas be? Is this renaissance and resurgence under Sark a real thing? And the Arch thing is going to be immediately addressed at Ohio State. And it doesn't even to a degree matter what the final score. It doesn't matter who wins or loses necessarily. How does he play? How does he look? If Ohio State at home on Saturday wins a back-and-forth football game and Arch plays really, really well and looks like he belongs, it's going to answer what feels like the question, can he live up to these expectations? It could go the other way. It could go the other way, and we could all unfairly say, this kid doesn't have it. He could throw a couple picks because it's the first time as an actual starter in a significant way at the college level where there's expectations, and that is true up and down the board. Can't wait. Even Dabo, who's pretty good, I think too good, at managing expectations, right? At scoffing at the idea that Clemson should be this or that. He knows. He was on, what was it, CBS Sports Network. And just like Brian Kelly, who's under pressure, saying best roster we've ever had. Just like Lincoln Riley, we need to compete for championships because there's nowhere to hide now. Dabo is making the case, and I've heard this before from guys that have failed. Doesn't mean Dabo will fail. But Dabo is making the case that this year's team sure reminds him of teams that have won national championships.
There's similarities for sure. There's a bunch of good players, and there's experience. But I think the other thing is these guys really care about each other. I mean, they've done a lot of football life together. And, you know, I think that, it's a group that has a chance.
The most mesmerizing player in college football, the most interesting storyline, Arch Manning, shouldered with pressure. The most interesting, I think, legitimate, as far as we know it now, championship contender, Penn State. And I like to give Ryan a hard time. They are interesting. They are fat. Their coach makes excuses, are really talented. They are loaded with pressure. Because Penn State's the kind of program that can win a national title and can vault themselves to the top of the sport. But if they don't, they're going to be labeled a loser. And their coach is probably not going to be the guy. Some of the biggest jobs in college football, USC, LSU, Alabama, have massive question marks about the ability of those coaches to maintain or return those programs to the level they're supposed to be at. One of the most impressive coaches in the history of college football, Dabo Swinney is that, and I'm not taking shots at Saban, I'm a Saban guy. I'm a Saban super fan. But Saban went to a place with a history, right? What Dabo did at Clemson is sort of like what Coach K did at Duke. The creation of that level of certainty and greatness is singularly tied to that guy. And there is a world where Dabo has lost his hold on it, and we start to figure that out now. 12 teams is a lot, especially if you are in the ACC. A lot of spots to at least pretend you're a contender. Barely got in last year. USC, Oklahoma, Nebraska against Cincinnati tonight. All blue bloods that may not be significant or relevant in the years ahead. The entire SEC and the pressure that. Hell, Bill Belichick and the jokes about trademarking Gold Digger. And Deion without the best player in college football and his son. Every single storyline, or most of them that are significant, that are interesting, that are attention-grabbing, are giant question marks. The days where you kind of knew, some of this is Saban going away. When you were just guaranteed, all right, that team will be in there. There's a, 40% chance every year that Alabama was going to win or almost win the national championship. It's over. And it's been replaced by questions of legacy, forks in the road for programs and coaches, and it can go either way for all of them, and I'm here for it. I'm here for the pressure. And it's nice. I can lean into it because my school sucks. Missouri's terrible. There's no pressure for me on that. I don't worry about it. Let's win 7 games, pretend we're good. I can't wait. If you have predictions, because we do, 888-710-4ISN. Or the old social media, Sports Writer Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R, Ryan_Hickey in the number 3. We're going to do conference championship predictions. We're going to do who we think will be the national champion, maybe biggest surprise. I want to get into hot seat coaches who are going to fail. And I'm even going to ask you and myself and Ryan, who's better? Who's more successful at the end of the year? Deion or the Hoodie? All that coming up in our predictions part of today's college football preview next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
And let's just give this guy a little bit of credit as a football player, not just a fiance, not just a, is it boo, bo? I think that's the fancy word for boyfriend or whatever, lover. He's not just Taylor Swift's arm candy.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
I'm a talker. Good morning. Welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. I don't want to waste any time. Let's get into the 2025 Writer Than You lottery. Oh, that's somebody else's segment. College football predictions. Oh, the music. What's up, Ryan Hickey?
Good morning, Bill.
All right, let's get right into it, okay? We don't have a lot of time. I cannot wait for this college football season. Is it weird that I am very excited about Nebraska? I'm even rooting for Nebraska, because if they lose to Cincinnati, they're 6.5-point favorites at a so-called neutral site game, which I'd forgotten. You're the one that told me. But Kansas City is super close to Nebraska. There's a bunch of Nebraska fans there. They lose that thing, I'm just telling you, it's over. I think that there's a thin line of hope, and if it's broken, it will break that program.
And that's why I love the beginning of the year and why college football, I think, is so exciting, because the season is so short. You could think, oh, it's one game, expanded playoff, who cares? That one game could easily tilt the direction of the season in a positive way if it's a big win, or in a negative way. Like, to your point, if Nebraska loses today, good luck. There goes any optimism, any momentum.
Josh Pate has them as 10-2.
Which, hot take for you. Going to be tough go 10-2 if you start 0-1.
It will be. It will be. Math. All right, let's start with the Big Ten. I want to get through these predictions. I went back and forth. I know who you're taking. I went back and forth. I'm going to go Oregon, actually. So it was a three-horse race for me between Penn State, Ohio State, and Oregon. And it comes down to this. It is less about, I think all three of those teams are outstanding. It's really hard, I think, in the modern landscape, to be a repeat conference champion. Coming off a national championship, I think is just, I think there's a lull. I do, in a program. I don't trust James Franklin. Even listen to him talk the last few days in a clip that you sent me. There's already built-in excuse making. And Oregon feels like, for a program that is funded by Nike money, that is massively talented, that's what, seventh or whatever they are in the poll, they're really under the radar. There's not a lot of pressure in, I just heard about this on Writer Than You, pressure-packed college football season. Give me Oregon. By the way, who knows, because it's wide open, and according to Josh Pate, it could be Nebraska. Let me guess who you're taking. You're going with the Hawkeyes.
Yes, totally, yeah. Unbiased.
Penn State, huh?
I think they will, though, play and beat Oregon, but I'm with you. I like Oregon of Ohio State this year. They are, it's weird, a sleeping giant for a top 10 team, but nobody's talking about them. Very low expectations. I think they're going to be very good this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be incredible. SEC, I find really, really hard to navigate. Okay, so I am not going to take Texas. Let me start there, and I could be wrong. I just think it's a lot to ask of Arch Manning. We just don't know. And I'm going to reserve the right to 100% change my mind on Saturday at around 2:30 Eastern time, okay? Or by that time. Kalen DeBoer is under massive pressure at Alabama. But he didn't inherit Nebraska. It's not Matt Rule. There's talent already there. And this is a guy, he's in his second year, who went 3-3 in year one at Fresno, and then 9-3. Went 11-2 in year one at Washington, then 14-1 in year two, and could have won the national championship. So we overreact. I'm going Alabama, is what I'm saying. I'm gonna go Alabama, even though that's a bit of a long shot, a little bit of a longer shot. Sleeping on Georgia, sleeping on Texas, sleeping on a lot of schools. The thing about Georgia is I don't trust their quarterback. I know that they brought in a bunch of receivers. I just don't trust him. He turns the ball over, and I don't know that. Like, I don't know what Arch is. I'm pretty sure in Georgia that guy's not good enough to win a national championship.
I will take the, I guess, popular pick. I'm going to take Texas.
You are, yeah.
And it's not going to be because I like their defense. I think their defense is really good. To your point, with a lot of quarterback questions, a lot of unknown for a lot of these big-time schools offensively, I'll trust Texas's defense to kind of guide the way, take some pressure off Arch, and be one of the more consistent sides of the ball in the SEC. I'll take the Horns, and probably a pick most people will take as well.
Can I back your play a little bit with 2 points? Sure. One, maybe the most talented roster in the SEC in college football.
Yep.
And two, again, I have this asterisk. I can change my mind in a few days. If you were to take a quarterback who is unproven, who was patient at Texas, who sat for a long time, who has pretty good Heisman Trophy odds, who internally they love, who's got great mechanics, who was a coach's kid, and his name wasn't Manning. It was Ryder, or it was, I don't know.
Hickey. They should throw out names. Yeah, why not? Hickey. Could be a great athlete, heard.
And you put him under Sark, I would say there's no one more capable of putting him in a position to succeed, building up his confidence, scheming properly for him. So that's not a bad pick. I was all over the place on the Big 12, which is part of the joy of that conference. Last year, almost every program had a chance to make the college football playoff with 3 or 4 weeks to go. Even Colorado had a shot with 2 games to go in the regular season. So you went with your biases with Penn State. I'm not an Iowa State guy, but coming off the win against Kansas State, maybe they came back with a little four-leaf clover. I'll go Iowa State over the team I should have taken, Utah.
I'm going to go with the team. Like, I feel good about this team, but the Big 12 history says this is going to blow up my face big time. I'm going to take a repeat. I'm going to go Arizona State.
You are.
I think they're really talented.
Okay.
They were a team last year picked last in the conference, won it. So that tells you everything you know about the Big 12 and the unpredictability. So they're going to probably finish last this year. But I think I'm going to go in a wide open conference. I'll take what I think is the best team and think for one time in this wacky conference, chalk works out.
Did you at all consider Kansas State? Would you put them up there if they hadn't lost that game?
I still think they are. Like, I think they're a really good team. I think there are six teams, honestly, in the Big 12 that have a real chance to win it. I still keep them in that top six.
Even you have BYU on that list?
I don't.
Okay.
I like Utah. You said Utah.
Do you like Baylor?
I do like Baylor. Iowa State's in there.
Baylor's another program I need to be including when I talk about how quickly you can lose your handle on a certain level of greatness. All right. I'm not sure how interesting the ACC is. There's only a couple. I guess there's three choices if you include SMU. I'm taking Clemson. I think there's a lot of pressure, but come on. I'm taking Clemson.
I am taking Clemson. I'm with you. This one feels like by far the easiest of the four.
Yeah, this one was not hard. Let's save national champion for the end. Who's going to be, maybe in a good way, if you want to do that, the biggest surprise in college football this year? Don't even have to be in the college football playoff. It can be an individual. It can be a team.
I like the Washington Huskies this year. I'm going to go deep cut here to me, be like a dark horse playoff team. They have some good guys on the roster, but one thing that's interesting is they have three toughest games. They play Ohio State. They play Oregon. They play Illinois, all three teams in the top 15. All three, though, at home, Bill, they've won 20 straight home games. Very good home team. You pull off one of those three upsets.
Look at the stats.
Some time, take care of business otherwise. If you're 10-2, we're talking about Nebraska yesterday. If you're 10-2 in the Big Ten with a top 15, top 10 upset win, you're in the playoff pretty comfortably.
All right, let me ask you this question. I want an honest answer because I set the rule. It has to be a positive surprise.
Okay.
Can Penn State losing three or four games be a positive surprise? Because I find it funny.
It would be a surprise. It would definitely not be a positive surprise unless you just take joy and have a lot of schadenfreude in their failure, which I guess for you and others who partake in that would be
only
a positive surprise.
Only if you weren't producing the show, I would probably root for them. I'm going to go with the team that I've mentioned a lot, but I'm invested in them for whatever reason. And this is why I'm really excited about tonight's game. I'm here for Nebraska. Their schedule is really easy. I think Matt Rhule is a great coach, and he's also a guy that's done a better job as years have gone on. He's in year three. He's even talked about how year three is a big thing for him, and that's in Nebraska, that's the big storyline. Everyone is hanging on by a thread to it's year three. There are turnarounds. He did this at Baylor. This is what he's done before. What's his name? Raiola is a star. I mean, the guy was the best or second best quarterback recruit in the country when he came out, depending on where you looked. Year two, I just their schedule's not hard. I mean, their schedule's not very hard. But you have to beat Cincinnati, or the air comes out of the balloon. All right, who is hot seat coach who's going to fail this year? And fail it can be different standards, right? I think Dabo or DeBoer could be don't make the college football playoff, and Brian Kelly or Lincoln Riley or Venable, like it can be. Kirk Ferentz or James Franklin. It's different standards across the country.
I think Lincoln Riley is really interesting, but I just think the standard is high enough to where if they go 8-4, if this is a massive failure.
I think it is here.
I think I'm going to go with Brian Kelly. Because at least in terms of national, LSU is we just played the clip before. Best team he's ever had there. They expect to compete for championships. If you can't even make the playoff in a 12-team format 2 years in a row, the best roster you've had at what's supposed to be one of the preeminent SEC football schools. I don't care what the bio looks like. They're going to be, they fired Ed Orgeron, less than 2 years after winning the national title? That could be a guy where if we're talking about another 9-3 season at LSU, Brian Kelly could be looking for work.
Titus McClendon, who listens and DMs me. By the way, we have an NFL Survivor pool that's a go, so hit me up or hit Ryan up. He wants to put some money on USC. He's excited about USC.
Oh, is it positive?
Positive. He says their schedule's not bad, right? There's a lot of talk that the line play, which they've just been shoved around, is going to be a lot better. I don't know how to evaluate that yet. I'm highly skeptical. So I'm gonna, and I mean this, I'm gonna go James Franklin. I actually think he's gonna underachieve. Now, look, I could be wrong, and people don't do it till they do it. I'm a huge believer. Whether it's your head coach, whether it's your quarterback, whether it's your point guard, that the person that is the most important figure on your team, and I think in college it is always the head coach. As their personality goes, so goes the team. And I think James Franklin holds on too tight. I think he wears this sort of intense sort of angst on his shoulder. I think he's going to squeeze too hard, and they're going to lose some games they shouldn't. And I'm sorry. I hope I'm wrong.
Me too.
What Kirk Ferentz does on purpose, he's going to do on accident.
I hope not, but it'd be interesting.
All right, we gotta go quick, but I like this conversation, and I'll go first on this double-edged conversation. Who is more successful this year? Who is more successful over the next 3 or 4 years? Bill Belichick versus Deion Sanders, the Celebrity Bowl, if you will. And UNC plays on Monday. It'd be amazing if they lost by 120 points. I'm gonna go Colorado better this year. I'm just pulling out of a hat here. I'm going to go Belichick better in the long run. I think he's actually going to make it work. And I have an emerging theory that and I think it's stupid, the silliness surrounding his beau, did I do that right? His girlfriend and the gold digger trademark and all that, that stuff's on Instagram. That stuff's on TikTok. I mean, it as weird as it sounds, it draws attention to the program. And when you're trying to get recruits, just them knowing who you are and thinking it's funny. I actually think there could be a weird upside to it. So I'll take Bill Belichick in the long run, but I think UNC's year could be rough. And I think Colorado's going to be basic, but I don't think they're going to be bad.
I'm going to go Bill Belichick for both.
Really? This year?
Even for this year, just because I think their schedule is more manageable in the ACC than it is for Colorado in the Big 12, where I think it's really deep, 1 to 15. I'll take an easier road, I think. And this is not a shot at Deion. Bill Belichick's a lifer as a coach, right? Like, that's all he knows, all he does. Deion is a celebrity. I think Bill's heart is into it more, where I don't know what Deion Sanders, now that his kids are not there, and I know we kind of basically called Travis Hunter as, like, his third son. So both sons and Travis Hunter are no longer there. How much is he into it? I don't know.
He doesn't like to recruit. Okay. Right. Who's the national champion?
I'll go Penn State over Clemson.
Oh, come on, man.
It's unbiased.
It's a legitimate.
I'd be a fraud.
I mean, it's a legitimate answer. I realized you weren't going to be that original. That's fine.
You want me to say Mizzou, huh? You want to placate you?
No, I mean, I want you to. That's very similar.
Say
to
Iowa?
It's very similar to saying Penn State.
You want me to say something I don't believe? I could do that.
Okay. This is hard.
It's wide open.
It's wide open. I'm going to go with them to struggle in conference play early on because of the pressure, to just get in to the college football playoff because of their conference, and to win the whole thing. I'll go with Texas as national champions after a couple losses that shouldn't happen and a surge at the end.
Better as the season goes on, more experience. Okay.
Yep. Basically, Arch loses a game here or there, has a couple, and people kind of go, oh, he sucks. And then maybe the spotlight shifts a little bit somewhere else. You know, they're the third or fourth SEC team. They play Penn State maybe in the second round, beat them, you know, again.
So almost like Ohio State last year, where they were almost written off, barely get in and get hot.
Yep. All right. College football mania. I cannot wait. All right. We'll have to go quick. We're going to do Would You Rather. We love the segment. Thanks to people hitting us up on social media and calling in. Sorry we didn't get to all of your perspectives. We'll try to mix them into the program as we move along. We have got Would You Rather after a sports flash from the triumphantly returned Andrew Bogish.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Oh, hi, guys. Your update sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Start number 11 was Shohei Ohtani's best and longest. 5 innings, 1 run on 2 hits, 9 Ks. It got him his first W as a Dodger. Manager Dave Roberts.
Getting his sea legs back and getting going, it takes a while. And so I thought tonight was one of those nights that, you know, he was locked in and worked some things out and really got into a good rhythm.
The Dodgers beat the Reds 5-1 for a 3-game sweep and a 2-game lead atop the NL West on the Padres, who lost in Seattle in the afternoon. The Reds, meanwhile, dropped 4.5 games behind the Mets for the last wild card spot. Messi tied the match in the 77th minute, scored the game winner in the 88th. Inter Miami, a come-from-behind 3-1 win over Orlando to reach Sunday night's League's Cup final. They'll face Seattle, who beat the LA Galaxy last night 2-0. And Asia Wilson, 34 points, 10 boards, 4 blocks. The Aces won in Atlanta 81-75, extending their win streak to 12. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I think you versus pop culture is a good rivalry.
Pop culture right now is kicking my ass. I don't know if
it's it's not really a rivalry. You guys just ignore each other. You act like the other doesn't exist.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. On this Thursday, Bill Ryder with you. That is me. Very quickly, those of you asking, no worries if you don't know how a Survivor NFL pool works. I haven't done one before. I just know how they work because I get invited all the time. So basically, every week, you will pick one NFL team who you are convinced will win that week. Not against the spread, not with odds, just who's going to win that week. You pick one team. Once you pick a team, you cannot pick them again that year. So, for example, if you take the Chiefs to win the week one, you cannot take the Chiefs all year. And we all do that until there's one person left. If you get your pick wrong, you're out. You're done. You're finished. And you basically have to pick correctly enough weeks in a row with different teams every time to be the last person standing. And whoever wins the Writer Than You NFL Survivor Pool will be allowed to pick Bum of the Week. And if you're listening and you work here, or in some cases you pretend to work here, and you'd like to name Bum of the Week me, you can also join. There's no restrictions. All right? Great. Hit me up on social media, SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R. I'm keeping a list. And I think, Ryan, what are we thinking? We're going to send out a link. We'll reach back out to people. A bunch of you have reached out. Ryan's got a big old list. Next week, we think?
Early next week. Monday, early Tuesday, so you have some time to get your pick in, especially if you want to do Eagles-Cowboys week one or on Thursday before Sunday starts the full shebang.
It's going to be brutal when I lose week one. Like when I pick you know, some big
when
favorite.
When you pick the Bears. You know you can't help yourself. You're picking the Bears week
one. I'm staying away from the Bears, dude. All right, I know we have to go quick. Let's do a very fast version of Would You Rather.
It's time for Would You Rather on Writer Than You.
Bill, would you rather see Brian Kelly, Lion Kelly, or James Franklin fail this season?
Oh, Lion Kelly.
Okay.
I think James Franklin is likely to fail. I think Lion Kelly deserves to fail.
How about this? Would you rather see Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift break up at some point?
No.
Or... okay. Would you rather see Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick stay together forever?
That's a great question. I'll take Bill Belichick. I'll take Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson to stay together forever because I don't want to see Tay Tay and Kelce break up. Although I will say I really want to hear the album when they do. So I'm torn there too.
It'll be a fire album, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's hit you where it hurts the most. Would you rather this weekend watch Missouri host Central Arkansas or watch Iowa host Albany?
If I had to pick one game.
Pick one game to watch.
I'll take Iowa. I hate Missouri so much and what they put me through over the years. I almost root for Iowa more.
I was about to ask, would you rather see Missouri or Iowa lose this weekend? I'm assuming it's Missouri, then?
I mean, Missouri lose. Isn't that terrible? Because they're in the SEC. We're not going to win anything. Honestly, dude, If Penn State went to the SEC, would you root for them at the same level? I don't. It changed things for me.
I mean, I still would root for them at the same level.
Yeah, okay. You have a good program now.
How about this? Some interesting games this weekend. Would you rather watch, if you only had to pick one, Clemson LSU top 10 matchup, or would you rather watch?
Stop.
It is. Number four, Clemson, number 9 LSU.
This is your top. Okay. Anyway, please get
I'm very excited. A lot of people are excited for that game. It's a primetime game. Would you rather watch that game or Monday night UNC host TCU?
It's the primetime game. It's not the prime game because of Fox. So let's just be very, 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 very clear.
You're right.
Yes.
But it's not, right, it doesn't mean it's the second, objectively, it's the second best game this weekend in terms of.
To talk about your very frustrating take that Clemson LSU was a bigger game than Ohio State Texas, I would rather watch UNC TCU.
Chief, I didn't say it's bigger. I said I'm more intrigued by it, more excited.
Okay,
for it.
Whatever.
I mean, the desperation Semantics. For both teams is higher in that game than it is for Ohio State Texas. But okay, you're taking Bill Belichick. You're intrigued by him.
I mean, it's easy for me because I can watch both, but I really want to see that first game with Belichick. Yeah. I want to see if Jordan Hudson form tackles someone if things go badly on the sideline.
How about this? Would you rather pick the wrong name in fantasy, take, let's say, Brian Robinson Jr. instead of Bijan Robinson, or lose in the first week of the Survivor Pool?
Oh, fantasy. Guys get hurt and you still win fantasy. I have not opened my fantasy baseball app in 6 weeks. I've let Reed Forgrave do it. Would you rather, which is terrible, would you rather win a fantasy league where you don't contribute or finish last?
When I don't contribute, because I would just lie to everyone and say, yep, I won. Yeah. No one asks how much you contribute. They assume you contribute
helping.
A lot.
I haven't been helping.
Ride the coattails, and if you guys are champs at the end of the year, just be like, yeah, no, never down. That's good management by you. You let the smart guy, if he's smart and managing it well, run the team.
What I tell Reed is, and I mean it, I'm the CEO and he works for me. And he's doing a good job.
And you know what a good boss does? Let the people he hires do the job he hired him for.
I made a few decisions early on. I sent him on the right way. That kid's learning.
Finally, Bill, let's see your watching habits here. Test them. Would you rather sit on the couch all day and watch games or would you rather attend one game in person?
This is a really good question. It depends on the game and the traffic reality. Because LA is brutal to get the games. But if I'm at Missouri, I just walk over and I tailgate. So it depends. Can I choose the game? Do I get to kind of, like, is it?
Yeah, you're not going to some crappy game.
I'd rather go to one game. Like, I like going to Missouri games and tailgating. I like going to Iowa games and tailgating. It's fun to go to games at the Rose Bowl here in LA. But it's a four-hour ordeal to get to the tailgate.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, it's probably more like two and a half, but then you can't get out of there because it's not a golf course. It's cool, but you might as well take a tent and camp out. It's not like when you're at a normal college campus where you just like walk for 2 miles and you find your car, right? It's kind of cool. It's awful. Traffic's awful. Breaking news. LA traffic is awful. Double breaking news. Ross Tucker's amazing, and he's next here on Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning, happy Thursday. Welcome into the show. Our good friend Ross Tucker is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, which you should subscribe to. It is outstanding. He's also a Westwood One NFL color analyst, 5-year NFL veteran on X at Ross Tucker NFL, and will talk to us at the end of our conversation about my front page story. Ross, good morning, pal. I'm so excited that real football, we are on the eve of it actually counting and mattering.
Yeah, man. I'm so fired up. I mean, there's a bunch of college games tonight. I love that college kind of does Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, maybe even Monday. I'd have to check. You know, this first weekend, which is awesome. And then next week, it really gets going. I know for me, like, I already, next week, I'll be in the booth, Westwood One, Thursday night with Kevin Harlan for Cowboys-Eagles, and then fly down Friday morning to New Orleans and call the Cardinals and the Saints for CBS. So kicking off with a doubleheader, man. I wouldn't want it any other way.
Amazing, dude. Congratulations. That success is very well deserved. Do you anticipate, what do you think the odds are when you're in the booth for Westwood talking about the Cowboys that, at a minimum, Micah Parsons and the Cowboys will have come to some sort of agreement, whether he's on the field or not? Likely? Not likely?
I think I'm still going to go. I mean, I hear all these reports. and I hear all the doom and gloom. I guess I'm still going to go with likely. I still think Micah wants to be out there. I still think the Cowboys want him to be out there. They do have a track record of taking these things to the last moment. So I could very possibly be wrong, but I'm going to say, I'm going to go with that Micah and the Cowboys do come to an agreement and he is out there.
Ross Tucker, let's say that you're right and Parsons plays this year. What is, and let me preface this with, I knew Marty Schottenheimer. We may have had this conversation. I think we really well, amazing human being, rooting for his son, but obviously Brian has not had head coaching experience. What is the legitimate outcome of this Cowboys season if Parsons is on the field for them?
Well, so first of all, I think we did talk about this.
I think we did,
but,
yeah.
Marty Schottenheimer was my head coach my rookie year, and so that's especially relevant right now when I'm seeing these guys get cut or the videos of undrafted guys making it. You know, I made it as an undrafted rookie free agent 2001 with Marty Schottenheimer and Washington. So I am forever indebted to Marty and frankly, the Schottenheimer family. I will say, you know, and I told you this, I think Marty Schottenheimer was the most impressive to me of any of the head coaches that I had in terms of the total package. And I had Belichick and Parcells and Joe Gibbs. So that says a lot. So I've always said if Brian Schottenheimer is only 75% as good of a head coach as his dad was, I think that's still a very good NFL head coach. They have the firepower on offense, I think, with a healthy Dak and adding Pickens. You know, I don't think their offensive line is going to be what it had been in recent years. And then defensively, you know, you're counting on Parsons to be out there, and then you're counting on Diggs to come back from health. I think they're probably it's funny. It feels like every year, Bill, they're like we people have them as like a 10 or 11 win team, and then maybe they barely meet that or they fall short of that. This year, you know, we talked about it on the Even Money Betting podcast this week. We did our season win totals. This year, they're only at 7.5. And so I think it's very possible now we've kind of gone too far the other way. I just think with some of the star power they have, and the last time we saw Dak, and he played the whole year, he was second in the MVP voting. I think they're probably more like an 8 or 9 win team, so maybe even 10. So I guess I would say, for those of you that are into that kind of thing, I like the over. I think the Cowboys exceed expectations this year.
I am into those sorts of things. Ross Tucker here on the show. Ross, obviously, Shedeur Sanders is a big storyline, and there's been a lot going on in Cleveland. You played the game. You've been behind the scenes. You offer rational perspectives, which not everyone has done when it comes to Shedeur. What do you make of how Cleveland has managed their quarterback room over the last few weeks?
Well, it's been unfortunate just because of the injury part of it, right? I mean, you know, everybody other than the 40-year-old has had an injury. Pickett had the hamstring. Dylan Gabriel had the hamstring. Shedeur Sanders had the oblique. I think, you know, on some level, it was like a blessing because Gabriel couldn't play that first game, so Shedeur got a lot of reps. And then, you know, Shedeur couldn't play the second game, so Dylan Gabriel got a lot of reps. So those things were beneficial. Pickett never played a snap. You know, I don't know how they would have done it if those guys had been healthy throughout. I'm kind of curious about that, but I guess we'll never know. You know, very clearly, they think Flacco gives them the best chance to win, so he's going to start. And then it's equally obvious that they think Dylan Gabriel is better and or further along than Shedeur Sanders at this point. So he'll be the number two. I still wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, all three guys start games at some point this season. I think that's very realistic. You know, I don't know how long they'll keep Flacco out there. They'll probably let Gabriel play for a while, but then I think they want to see what they have in Shador. So I think all of those are very realistic things. I think they've handled it pretty darn well. I think, by the way, all of the commentary, Bill, around Shador, so much of which is so irrational, is a really good example of why a lot of teams didn't want him in the first place. You know, there's a Tebow factor. There's kind of a Kaepernick factor where people lose rational thought around Shador Sanders for whatever reason. And I think a lot of teams, knowing that he was probably best suited to be a number two or number three, really didn't want to have to deal with that or have to, you know, handle that on their watch.
Talking to Ross Tucker here on the show. Ross, I want to go in the weeds a little bit here on guys getting cut or not getting cut. When you're undrafted or you're on the periphery, you're on, you know, it could go either way. To what degree is it your position coach versus the head coach? Do you have any sense of sort of when you're one of those guys, who's making the decisions, how significant small things are? What are the, for lack of a better term, the football politics of trying to be on the right side of that day?
Well, you know what? It's so funny that you say that because, as you know, I played for five teams over 7 years, and I think I had, just because of the nature of it, nine head coaches, nine position coaches. And what I would tell you is that dynamic is really different from team to team and from GM to GM, head coach to head coach, meaning there are some teams, you know, let's put it this way. 2001 in Washington, Marty Schottenheimer had total control over everything. And I think also, you know, leaned heavily on his position coaches. Then he gets let go. Spurrier comes in, and that was the owner, Daniel Snyder, and the GM, Joe Mendes. They were making all the decisions. I'm sure they took some input from the position coaches and Spurrier, but, I mean, Spurrier would have press conferences where they would ask him about a guy that the team had just signed or, you know, had traded for, and he didn't know about it. He wasn't even aware of it at that point. So just think about that. Meanwhile, wow, the year before, Schottenheimer was the one actually making the call. So it really varies greatly. Some teams are more head coach run. Some teams are more run by the GM. And, you know, and then both of those positions have different philosophies as to how much to include the position coach. And by the way, the clout of the position coach means a lot, right? If it's a very well-respected position coach, that guy has a lot of say in who stays and who goes. Whereas if it's maybe a younger or not as respected position coach, they certainly have input, but they're not really making the call.
That stuff I find to be so interesting. Ross Tucker hanging out here on the show. I'm Bill Ryder. The show is Ryder Than You. Ross, let me lean into your expertise is far-reaching, but to the position you played. The Commanders obviously overachieved last year. That brings legitimate, understandable expectations. They have the oldest roster in the NFL since at least 2012. Is that a benefit to a young quarterback entering year two, or is that a concern?
Well, I think long-term it's a concern, right? Because it's like, what are you building that's sustainable? Because, you know, I said this on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, they're not just the oldest team in the NFL. They're the oldest team, Bill, over the last 15 years by a wide margin. Wide margin. It's one of the oldest teams we've seen in a long, long time. So I actually find stuff like that interesting. Whereas some people will just look at that and they'll say, oh my gosh, that's horrible. How can you do that? The Commanders are so stupid. You don't want to have an old team. You want to have a young team, blah, 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 blah. I don't look at it that way. I look at it like Adam Peters and some of the people running the organization in Washington, really, really smart people, I think that they believe they found a market inefficiency. I think that they believe, you know, 1-year deals on older guys that you can actually get them for less money given the production, right? So everybody wants younger, everybody wants second contract guys, everybody wants guys, you know, that are 26 or whatever. What if for just this year you can get the same production from a 32-year-old that you would from that 27-year-old, but for half the price? I mean, doesn't that make sense? And by the way, Bill, I don't know that's the case. My guess is, though, it's not a coincidence that they're this old. I think they've probably looked at the data and they've realized, okay, a lot of these guys aren't what they used to be. But if this guy was doing this and he was 27, we'd be thrilled. So what? He's 32. We only want him for 1 year anyway.
That is really interesting. Really smart. Ross Tucker hanging out here on the program, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can get that wherever you get your podcast. You can also follow Ross on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, before we let you go, now our last producer had one of these hanging in his house. I don't know if our current producer does. So if he doesn't, pay attention, Ryan. This is important for you too because he just got engaged. Can you tell us about myfrontpagestory.com, please?
Oh, well, first of all, Ryan, congratulations. That's awesome. And that's good timing because I've been told, Bill, which is like mind-boggling to me, that evidently September and October are the two biggest months in the United States for weddings.
Yep.
Which we've talked about this before. Like, I just can't believe. I can't imagine anybody in the Deep South doing that. But even like in Big Ten country, I'm blown away. But it happens. I mean, I missed, I would say, half of my best friends' weddings because they got married either when I was in training camp or during the fall because their brides are selfish and they cared more about their big dream day as opposed to their husband, the bee's friend, Ross. but anyway, the moral of the story is September and October are then also the two biggest months for anniversaries. So go to myfrontpagestory.com. And Ryan, this would actually be an amazing engagement gift or wedding gift. And yes, you should get your wife a wedding gift, believe it or not. You talk to a writer, not somebody as good as Bill, but somebody hopefully almost as good as Bill. And it's myfrontpagestory.com. They write an incredible story about your significant other or your mom and dad. You're going to get it for them for their anniversary. Looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper framed. I would be shocked if your mom and or significant other did not cry when they looked at this thing and started to read it. It's myfrontpagestory.com. And if you go right now, you can just throw your email address in. They'll give you a 20% coupon that you can use for the holidays or Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, so you don't forget. Myfrontpagestory.com. It really is the coolest, most unique gift for a loved one I've seen.
It is really amazing. Ross Tucker, you are the man, buddy. Have fun next week on what will be a very busy broadcasting schedule kicking off. And thanks for making time, as always.
Of course. My pleasure, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, pal. Ross Tucker on the show, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. You can catch him as part of CBS Sports' broadcasting crew, Westwood One's broadcasting crew, and, of course, on X at Ross Tucker NFL. I did not, Ryan, have the heart to tell him that my wedding anniversary, 20th anniversary this year, October.
Just conveniently forgot to mention that one, huh?
I let it. Where are you guys at on the impending date?
We have not selected a date, but I will say Lauren is very headstrong.
Yes.
On September.
Right. No, that's, trust me.
So, I've been slowly trying to move her off that date, and she is 10 toes down.
Here's the thing that I would say to Ross gently, but I don't want to get into it. Gently as a pushback. One word that might explain why poverty, right? We just did the wedding when we could afford it. When could we find venues that weren't expensive?
Are they cheaper? I don't know anything. They're cheaper in September than they are in the summer?
I mean, I think it depends on what you're looking at. I mean, we were in Iowa, so it was colder back then that time of year. And we did our wedding for $8,000. I mean, everything. Everything. $8,000.
Wow.
Food.
That's pretty good.
Dress.
Money. Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane, actually.
My wife did all the work. Lori should have become a wedding planner. I'd be rich right now. For real. So she, we found a church that we wanted, and that wasn't the hard part. We found a venue that was like, it was the one weekend it was open, right? It was, if I'd been like, well, that sounds great, Hotel Petit's cool or whatever, but football, she would have gotten married to someone else that weekend. So, that's my gentle, pushback to that.
Bears, okay. Packers, or having a wife for 20 years? I don't know, Bill. I don't know.
Tough call. Well, not if you're a Bears fan, but it would have been a tough call back then if I'd been a Patriots fan. But I was a Bears fan, so here we are, happily married for after 20 years. Speaking of something that's happy and that's consistent and that we'll always love you back, Buy or Sell is coming up next year, along with the return of Kevin Todd. I'm Writer Than You.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast. Welcome back to Writer Than You.
These cheap you-know-whats. That's when I'd be swearing, but I can't because it's radio and I respect you and I respect the government and I don't want to get in trouble and I don't want to lose my job. These cheap you-know-whats won't pay him the money he's worth.
On the Infinity Sports Network.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. This portion of the program is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare? Want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Bill, let's start some tennis. U.S. Open going
on. Whoa, say those words again for me. Magical.
Let's
never happened.
Start with tennis. Here on the show.
It is. Okay.
Yesterday, in women's singles, American Taylor Townsend advanced to the third round of the U.S. Open. But story of her match centers around her post-game interaction with her opponent, Jelena Ostapenko. Now, on ESPN, Townsend revealed what Ostapenko said to her.
Yeah, I mean, it's competition. People get upset when they lose, and some people say bad things. She told me I have no class, I have no education, and to see what happens when we get outside the U.S. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I beat her in Canada outside the U.S. I beat her in New York outside the U.S. So let's see what else she has to say.
Pretty crazy. So apparently Ostapenko was upset at Townsend for the fact that she now apologized for a netball and also felt like her warm-up routine before the match started was very disrespectful. Buy or sell? Jelena Ostapenko, Bill, is overreacting.
Buy. Get over
Bye.
It. Get over it. You're a bad sport. By the way, I will say this. I got into a really heated confrontation on the tennis court this past weekend. Like, really heated. So I can kind of relate. And I was right. In this case, Ostapenko was wrong.
Did you see who chided Ostapenko about her poor sportsmanship?
I saw Sabalenka kind of came to her defense a little bit.
Oh, maybe I misinterpreted. I thought she was saying she has to be a little bit better.
Well, and she did that too, but she did say like she's really nice. She's got to learn to control herself. It was a little bit of both. But yeah, when that person's giving you advice,
Man, she's a bad sport. Yeah, that's when you know, right?
Right. Oh, that's like Bill Belichick giving you advice on how to date women your own age. But no? Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Since we do want to get to Kevin here, and we still have a lot of buy or sell questions, if you don't mind, let's...
It's time for No Context Buy or Sell.
With the caveat, if you want context, we can also give you context. But we'll start with buy or sell, Bill.
Okay.
You believe, Chris Ballard, that Anthony Richardson still has a chance to be the franchise quarterback for the Colts.
Sell. I don't think he believes it either. What's the word I'm looking for? He a liar. But he has to lie there.
Buy or sell? Brock Purdy will be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL this season.
Bye. I think we're sleeping on Brock
Bye.
Purdy. Yes. Yes. Let's go. Why not?
Why not?
Buy or sell, you would take Brock Purdy over Baker Mayfield tomorrow.
Oh, that hurts. Oh, boy. I love both.
Bye.
Yeah, right? Kind of that range, but maybe a little more ceiling, actually.
A little bit more clutch.
Yeah.
I love Baker, though.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good one. Buy or sell, you are nervous that Travis Hunter will not be able to withstand a full season of playing both ways.
I will buy, but I am more. But I want to see it. Let's see it. Let's see what happens. Let's go. I mean, you can't. We've had this conversation. You cannot give up what they gave up for him and move up to number two overall and then just be like, oh, you're playing defense. Can't do it. You have to have drafted two players or 1.5 first-round draft picks in order to justify that.
That's fair. Since we start with tennis,
yeah,
one of your favorite sports, let's talk about another of your favorite sports.
Okay.
Soccer!
Oh, I know where you're going. Grimsby Town!
As you just mentioned, Grimsby Town pulled off one of maybe the biggest upsets we've ever seen in soccer, period. They yesterday beat Man United in penalty kicks. For those who do not know, including myself here, up until about 5 minutes ago, Grimsby Town in the English soccer realm is a fourth-tier team. Obviously, Man U is one of the biggest, proudest soccer organizations in all of the world. Buy or sell, Bill. This is the biggest soccer upset in soccer history.
You forgot to do no context, huh?
Oh, I'm a total idiot.
It's okay. Bye. It is one of the biggest upsets of all time. That crazy penalty shootout was amazing. And I shouldn't have been doing this. I had it in my car. I wasn't looking at it, but then I got excited and almost drove into the car in front of me. So I really did. I almost. Sorry about that. Sorry. My bad. Well, I slammed the brakes on.
Is the upset so big that if he were to get into a crash, the driver's like, you know what? I get it. Grimsby Town just won.
If he was a soccer fan, maybe. They slammed their brakes on, too, so I think maybe they were listening as well. I mean, I can't even. It's insanity. It would be like our YMCA league, you and I, beating the Clippers in a game that mattered or something. I don't know how to explain it. This is insane.
Wow. That's wild. Back to no context, buy or sell that I forgot. We're in. My apologies. Buy or sell, Bill Belichick will go through this season without another distraction popping up.
Sell. Possible.
Sell.
Buy or sell that even though this guy's kind of despicable now, he is despicable. Buy or sell that UNC's sort of theme song should be Gold Digger by Kanye.
Buy.
Okay.
Lean into it. Come out of the tunnel.
Lean into it.
Blasting on the sound speaker. Could you imagine? Oh, boy.
Buy or sell, Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick will be together in 5 years.
Sell.
Sell. 3 years.
Sell.
1 year.
Buy.
Okay.
I can't see this being long, but I think the fire will burn strong enough for at least another year.
Okay. I like it.
Let's finish off here, Bill. Buy or sell. There will be a woman NBA head coach by the year 2030.
Buy.
Buy.
This is not a criticism. It's a question, all right? I struggle with things all the time. Buy or sell. You struggle with no context. Buy or sell.
Buy.
Well, I would say I more struggle in remembering we're in no context by our son. I was so excited because we never talked soccer. I was like, oh, my God, let's talk soccer. Let's talk about this big upset. And I just totally lost the plot.
I found it very amusing. Very amusing. All right. You know what I'm excited about? This is my guy. He's back. He was with us last year. There is a company. They're outstanding. I love this approach and this idea. It's Vegas Mistake. Really easy. VegasMistake.com. The way that this works, right, for those of us that do sports betting, we're always assessing the odds that Vegas makes. They look at various games, and they go, all right, this game is this game is that. And we try to figure out what we think about each of those teams. What my guy Kevin Todd does with Vegas Mistake, and it's 866-441-2711, 866-441-2711, VegasMistake.com, is actually peruse all of the lines and figure out where Vegas has screwed something up. These guys aren't infallible. And the whales out there, I know one really well, a guy that makes a bunch of money, they do the exact same thing. You assess the lines that are wrong. So Kevin Todd is back to talk to us about it, VegasMistake.com. Mr. Todd, good morning, buddy. What's going on?
Bill, my man, how are you?
Living the dream. I'm itching. I'm ready for football in large part so I can put some money down. Tell us about sort of what you got cooking.
Well, over here at Vegas Mistake, folks, what we do is that we identify where Vegas has made mistakes. Because let me tell you right now, folks, Vegas already knows what the public is going to bet, Bill, because the public bets based on how teams played the previous week. If a team plays well, they know to move the line. If a team plays bad, they know that they're going to basically bet against that team. So the odds makers, they already know, folks. And what we do here at Vegas Mistakes, we identify the mistakes, okay? We don't do parlays. We don't do teasers. We look for dogs that we believe could win the game outright. Because what we do is we want you to put 75% of your bankroll on the point spread and also 25% of your bankroll on the money line. So, for instance, if you take a 7-point dog, folks, and you take them plus 7, then you take them the money line, most of the time when you bet them on the money line and they win the game outright, you're going to get probably sometimes 3 to 4 times your money. Right now, if you go over to VegasMistake.com or give us a call at 866-441-2711 and mention you heard me on Bill's show, I will give you 20% off the entire season. That's over 100 games between now and the end of the football season. That's college and pro, folks. 20% off. Mention you heard me on Bill. Go over to VegasMistake.com or give me a call at 866-441-2711. For an example, Bill, last week, week zero in the NFL, UNLV was a 31-point favorite. And only won the game by 7. That's what we do. We find the mistakes over here at VegasMistake.com.
And I love the point that you made, because I used to be that sucker, because I love to bet who would bet parlays. I bet the hard ways at craps. But Kevin's making a great point, because if you can find the dog that actually shouldn't be a dog, if you can find the underdog that can just win straight up a money line bet, it does. It gives you great odds. Now, most of us that aren't pros at this, that aren't experts, that aren't whales out there making the analysis that they're making at VegasMistake.com, I'll just sort of get a wild hair and just go with an underdog because it's fun. If you call 866-441-2711, what they're going to do, and again, Kevin just told you there's a discount if you want to do it, they're going to find you where they think Vegas handicappers have screwed up, have gotten it wrong. Because there's a lot of data and a lot of games they're processing. And if you can target those and you can be successful, you get really good odds. Again, 866-441-2711, VegasMistake.com, as in looking for those mistakes that Vegas makes, VegasMistake.com. And I know that you've got like just a little bit of a teaser for us, Kevin, something that you kind of got your eye on.
Absolutely. So let me just tell you one other thing, folks. The games that I give out on the air to the listeners, they're not the games that I release to my clients. These are just my own personal opinion. And let me tell you, this weekend in particular, I have a game where I believe the underdog is going to win the game outright. Okay? If you treat this like a business, folks, do less games, more money. Why would you want to go out and basically bet 4 or 5 games on a weekend when I can give you one game, it's a dog, it's a plus 7 dog, they're going to win the game outright. You bet the game and you bet the money line. That's treating it like a business over here, folks. Less game, more money. And we'll teach you our money management program. And like I said, folks, you get at least 100 plays and half of them are going to be the underdog that we believe is going to win the game outright. Go to VegasMistake.com. That's 866-441-2711 and sign up for the season and mention you heard me right here on Bill's show. I will give you 20% off. And for the free play, Bill, that I'm going to give you right now is I'm going to give out Georgia Tech Colorado. This game is tomorrow. Right now the line is between 4 and 4.5, and I love Georgia Tech in this spot right here. Now, if you remember last year, Bill, Georgia Tech was a double-digit dog week one against Florida State, went on the road, beat them. Then I believe around week 6 or 7, double-digit dog against Miami, beat them in Miami for the second straight time. Remember, Colorado, they lost their Heisman Trophy winner there with Travis Hunter. They lost their quarterback with Sanders. And I know why they picked up a quarterback from Liberty. But remember, the 2 years that Sanders was there, Bill, they had the worst offensive line in college football, Colorado. And Georgia Tech, well, listen, they play in the ACC. They got their great quarterback coming back, King. And remember, he was nearly 30 touchdowns over a year ago and has a proven target on his team with Singleton Jr., who averaged over 16 yards a catch as a freshman. Their defense is led by Alford, or says a effort, who's a tackling machine. He's going to get to that quarterback. Now, they have and also, let me just tell you right now, Colorado is ranked 26th in the country in bringing back performance progress on their team, meaning that they're ranked really high and bringing back a lot of players. Plus the fact that Colorado, Bill, they're 0-5 straight up and 1-4 against the spread their last five games versus the ACC. Colorado's playing at home, folks, and they're making them the dog. Give me Georgia Tech right here. I know they're laying 4, but they're going to win this game by a lot more. They win by double digits. Love Georgia Tech in this matchup, Bill.
All right, Kevin Todd, VegasMistake.com. I know we're going to talk every week. Start again next week, 866-441-2711, 866-441-2711. Kevin and his team are assessing all of the odds this year. They're looking for where Las Vegas and handicappers have screwed up. They're looking for the human error coming out of Las Vegas. And if you want to subscribe, you can get a discount. Just mention the show, Bill Ryder, Ryder Than You, 866-441-2711. Kevin, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
That's right. And let me tell you, folks, you get over 100 plays for the entire season. Mention you heard me on Bill, you get 20% off. Bill, and I'll speak to you next Thursday, same time, my friend.
All right, brother. Talk to you then. Kevin Todd, VegasMistake.com. That's VegasMistake.com. Speaking of mistakes, I want to talk to you about this tennis fight again. I just want to get into when people lose their minds over various sporting things and tell you a story about Ryan Hickey. That's coming up after a sports flash from Andrew Bogus.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Bill, the first full weekend of college football begin tonight with number 25 Boise State facing USF in Tampa. Like the rest of us, Boise head coach Spencer Danielson pumped to do it for real.
Really excited for our guys. All the prep, right? You go from January when one season's over, all the prep you do from now until kickoff, no different than South Florida, no different than every other FBS team heading into week one. I'm just excited to see our guys go cut it loose on Thursday night.
This is a 5:30 Eastern kickoff. As for some of the bigger matchups this weekend, ESPN says that NFL teams will be scouting these huge matchups. 31 scouts from 20 teams plus 2 GMs at Texas, Ohio State. 35 scouts, 5 GMs at Clemson, LSU, and 30-4 at Notre Dame, Miami on Sunday night. The Blue Jays have the best record in the AL this morning, a half game ahead of the Tigers. Toronto outscored Minnesota last night 9-8. Then Detroit lost its fourth in a row 7-0 to the A's in Sacramento. And Messi scored twice late in the second half to lead Inter Miami to a 3-1 win over Orlando in the League's Cup semifinal. The title match is Sunday night in Seattle. I'm Andrew Bogish.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you here on the program. Should I go to Iowa, USC? Iowa, UCLA, excuse me. I probably should, right?
I think you definitely should. When's that game? October, November?
No, it's USC. It's USC.
Is that better for your commute?
It is easier.
Okay.
Yeah, it's closer. It's not as, no offense, USC fans, it's not as scenic as UCLA. You probably know this, but I'm going to tell you. I was actually at Westwood yesterday with my son. Westwood is in, not quite Beverly Hills. It's in LA. It's Westwood, right? It's a neighborhood there. It's beautiful. Pasadena is an hour away. So if you, it's such a weird concept. And it's because it's in the middle of the most, a very, very vibrant part of Los Angeles where it would cost $1 billion to get the land, I'm sure. But Titus has invited me to get a beer with him if I go to the USC game. I think I might. I guess it depends on the weekend and what I'm doing, but
that'd be pretty cool.
See the Hawkeyes play? It also depends on how Iowa's, if I'm being honest, how's Iowa doing?
Now, also what's something could be interesting, this could be potentially a Friday night game. Would that change your calculus?
Yeah, I usually make Fridays my, because there's no sports really going on to speak of, that's usually my family sort of night. But maybe I would do it anyway. Are you looking up the schedule?
It's okay, so it is a Saturday. Sometimes they have those late night games in the Big Ten. November 15th is the
which
game.
It's a great time of year. I should be here.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah, maybe I'll go. Titus, maybe I'll go. We'll get a beer.
Would your parents go?
They might come into town.
That'd be fun.
Yes. Yes. If Iowa is undefeated, they'll definitely be there.
Oh.
No?
What this about portion if he's undefeated?
This portion of the show and all the hope that comes with it is sponsored by the Hyundai Getaway sales event going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Don't miss out. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. What would be more surprising to you? USC makes the college football playoff or Iowa makes the Big Ten championship game?
Oh, I do like Iowa's new quarterback this year. Maybe there's actually something there. Now, just looking at Iowa's schedule only, they do play Iowa State coming off that big win last week.
Lose to every year, by the way.
That they do.
In history.
They play Indiana. Tough game. Indiana went to the playoff last year. They got some talent.
Yeah, it's at home, though.
You're at home. Should win that game. Yeah. You do welcome Penn State. Now it's at home.
They host Penn State.
Host Penn State.
The wheels could have come off for Penn State by then.
That's October 18th. The wheels probably come off in like November. But maybe.
They host Oregon.
They also host Oregon. That's nice.
Yeah.
So toughest games are at home. Imagine at Iowa. Imagine this. Iowa-Nebraska, last game of the year, winners in the Big Ten title game.
Not impossible.
That'd be fun.
Not likely.
But why not? But that's what the preseason is for. We dream. Let's veer a little bit from reality.
Can I give you my sort of dueling take here? Did my voice just crack? My dueling take. That was amazing. Can I give you my dueling take on this kerfuffle that happened at the U.S. Open? I am sort of surprised there aren't more outbursts like this in professional sports sometimes, because there is. Look, Ostapenko should not be screaming at Townsend. And if she really did insult her the way that Townsend said, that is totally unacceptable. And that crosses the line to a lot of other things. But generally speaking, because I don't know if you did you watch the video? They're yelling at each other with microphones around. It was amazing to watch.
Wasn't it? It was heated for like 2 minutes after the match.
It was heated. These are remarkably competitive people. And I think they should have to answer questions. I think they should be in front of microphones. I think they should talk to the media. You're getting paid to entertain people. You have engaged in a public thing, right? That's the deal. Like, you don't want people to review your work? Don't be a stage actor. You know? I mean, that's part of the way. You don't want to potentially be booed? Don't go into something in which you're making your living with an audience. That said, they're human beings, and they're emotional. We're all emotional. I am insanely, some would say in an unhealthy way, insanely competitive in every single thing that I do. And I, like last weekend in a USTA match, and I may have told this story on the air already, I had a guy hitting tennis ball as hard as he could at my female partner. I was playing mixed doubles, and she was a lower level sort of rated player than we were, and he almost hurt her. Almost hit her in the face a few times and hit her in the body. And so I basically was like, stop now. It became a very intense thing. And then when we beat him, I was real intense in the victory. It was a big, like, that intensity is part of the deal. You're allowed to lose your temper. You're allowed to get mad. You're allowed to. I'm surprised this stuff doesn't happen more often. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often in the NFL. I'm surprised guys don't come to the podium more often and say, you know what? That quarterback's a piece of garbage. I can't stand that guy. Or that defensive end is grab me by the... Because you know in the pile, all kinds of crazy stuff happens in the NFL. I'm surprised that people don't just narc people out more often. But like, this guy's a bad guy. I'm surprised when Penn State wins games, you don't have coaches being like, you know what James Franklin is? He's A, B, and C. Aren't you? Just a little bit that there's not... I guess in tennis it would make more sense because you're one-on-one. There's no timeouts. There's no emotional break. There's no support system. You're playing against one person and one person only. It is a 2 or 3 or 4 hour slugfest. You see it in boxing, I guess. Where I'm surprised there isn't more just, I hate you and you hate me, and it's part. I like it. I like the rivalry. I like the competition. Not the disrespect. Not crossing the lines. That's not okay. So what Townsend said, what said to her, is unacceptable if that is accurate. But when I first saw the interaction, didn't know those details, I thought this is hilarious and it's a spectacle, but also good. I want people to give a you-know-what. I want people to care. I want people to be angry. I want people to be passionate. I'm into it. Give me more of this. I like it when guys don't like each other or women don't like each other. Healthy for the game and for the sport. When's the last time you lost your temper, really lost your temper in a competitive environment?
Oh, that's a great not on the pickleball court, which is really the only competitive thing I've done recently. It's been a long time.
For me, it's just the last time I played tennis. So it's just...
last week. A couple days ago.
It actually happened twice. It happened back to back days over the weekend. I also snapped with somebody else.
For what?
One of the opposing team's captains was talking to my partner during the match, and you're not allowed to do that. So I told her to shut her mouth.
Tennis has some interesting rules and unwritten rules.
Yeah. I'm an intense guy. What can
do
I
you
say?
Apologize for the when the ball hits the net? Like why is that a thing?
Yeah, sorry. Yep. Yes. Why? And you have to apologize. Like, I got hit by the same guy three times in the chest, I put my racket up, but he didn't apologize, and that was not acceptable. It's a courtesy thing. I don't know how to explain it. And by the way, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm not sorry. If it's a buddy, I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I just won that garbage BS point. It's just a courtesy thing. It's kind of like you don't walk in somebody's line in golf, or it's a courtesy. I don't know how to explain it.
So you understand why there was frustration for a ball being hit over that hit the net.
Yeah,
but
you don't have to do it. Yeah, but people don't do it sometimes. I don't scream at them after the match.
Okay.
Over that. It's a little like, okay, whatever, bro. But it would be like if you held the door for somebody and they didn't say thank you. That happened to me the other day. I held the door for a woman. She didn't say thank you. I didn't go, hey, you're rude. It is rude, but it's not something you actually bring up. If that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. College football. All right, we're going to talk to Nebraska. Man, please don't lose Nebraska. No offense, Cincinnati. I just feel bad for Cornhuskers. That game is tonight. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here tomorrow on Rider Than You.